Blog Talk Radio.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
Who's that lady? Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop. Listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop. Listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy. Stop. Listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop. Listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that?
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose: to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy.
All right, I want to thank you for joining us today on The Real McCoy Show on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Shauna Stallworth, also referred to as the sidekick of Coach Anna McCoy. I'm coming to you today. Today we're going to have a pre-recorded show entitled Pattern for Purpose. We've been going through a series of branding tips and tools as it relates to branding you and your brand you reputation and branding in this season or in this season of economic crisis and the things that are going on within the world on today of how you might be able to begin to rebrand yourself if necessary or be the brand and brand your talent. But today we're going to talk about pattern for purpose, and it certainly falls in line with the topics that we've been talking about throughout this month and last. So we want to encourage you to keep your dial locked to the show on today. It's going to be some awesome tools. We're coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Covenant Church with Bishop Joseph Garlington, and this segment is entitled Pattern for Purpose. Tomorrow in the workshop, I really want to encourage you to come because I'm really going to get down to the practical ways of dealing with money, from dealing with your credit to dominating money for the kingdom. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you're here tomorrow. I also want to let you know that if you do send me an email, I will respond. The one thing about me is I'm so passionate about helping you to achieve your dream in your destiny. As much as I do, I still make time to touch people. And I think I'm unique in that way
I call, you know, I might surprise you. You give me a phone. I'm like, hey, what you doing? And be like, who is this? And then everybody goes, it's Anna McCoy. I'm like, who is, you know, like I'm some celebrity or something. But what they're responding to is that you took the time to call me, to communicate with me. So if you're in a, you're trying to work through something, you need an answer about something, please send me an email. I'm going to respond to you, and I'm going to try to direct you to an answer or a solution. If you haven't been to my website, it is full of information. Financial Learning Center, there are web seminars that you can go through on the internet at your own leisure if you want to find out about retirement. We have thousands of articles when it comes to any type of financial situation, whether you're interested in sending your children to college, your retirement. We have articles that come out every single month, a newsletter that we publish on the website in the Financial Learning Center. So it's available to you. Then in addition to that, I'm constantly writing articles myself that, again, I'm making available to you at no cost. And, again, I am accessible. If you call my 800 number, more than likely you might even get me, okay? So I'm just putting that out to you, and I put it out everywhere I go, and less than 0.0% of the people believe me that I'm going to respond to you. So I don't want to just put the information out and not give you a resource that you can communicate. Just don't send me any money requests because I'm not going to respond to you. But y'all think, is she serious or what? I'm very serious. But trust me, I help those that the Lord tells me to help and to support and to mentor. I do want to take the time to share with you about the Mentoring Mansion, what I do outside of speaking. I am also a business coach and a life coach. I help people achieve their dreams. My personal mission statement in life is that I am an advocate for the righteousness of a living God, proclaiming the gospel to all that I meet, that they may accomplish their God-given purpose. Now, that has been my personal mission statement for the last 10 years of my life when the Lord spoke to me, and I'm trying to figure out, what is my purpose? What have I been sent here for? What is my mission in life? And I needed something that could center my attention. It does not matter what environment I am in. If I meet you at the grocery store and we talk long enough, the question that I'm going to ask you is, why are you here? Who are you? What are you going to accomplish? What are you doing in your life? That is what I'm about, because I believe the anointing on my life is to unlock for other people a way to get to their destiny. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're going to talk about today, is giving birth to your dream or your vision. Like I said, in the time that we have tomorrow, I'm going to spend time talking about your credit report, talking about what you can invest in, all of those different things, how you should prepare yourself in understanding money, understanding the purpose of money, tapping into God's economy as opposed to the world's economy, but giving you practical ways that you can do that. How do you save money? How do you spend less, save more, and secure your future? All of that, by the way, if you haven't gotten the Building Generational Wealth book, that's in the book, 70 ways that you can save more, spend less, and secure your future. So different things like, if you're single, what do you do? Questions that you have, what do you do? How do you date when you're single? How do you manage your money when you're single? It's amazing to me that when a person is a single person, they're just kind of moving along. I've counseled people in financial counseling. They're single individuals. Most of their monies, when they're really committed to the ministry, what I see is a large portion of their income, their tithe, their offering. I mean, those offerings are pretty high as a single individual. When they're single, non-dating individual, when they start to date, all of a sudden they find themselves in financial ruin. Why? Because they go out more, they do a lot more things that they didn't do, they may take a few vacations, they spend a little more money on a little cruises, different things, and they don't understand what happens. if I'm doing the man's side, because he feels that he should take, you know, the responsibility. He should pay for that meal that you're eating. And I'm saying, no, don't pay for it until you know if she the one. So see, you'll be getting mad later. You'll get mad when she's not the one and all your money has gone down the drain. Shoot, that lamb chop she was eating, I should have fed her. Hamburger. Shoot. This is for real. I'm so serious when I counsel people. I do marriage counseling. Only to a select few. Only to the ones that the Lord sends to us to tell us to do that. But even in doing that, you know, when you're trying to do this marriage counseling, trying to get this thing together, people trying to figure out if they really going to do this thing, you know. And I always, when I'm doing marriage counseling, I always, to the moment you are getting married, there is a way out of this. Just say no. I'm telling you, why cross over the line? You're going to cross over the line. You're going to put this thing together. You're going to secure it together. You're going to make a covenant relationship. Now you got to deal with God. Just say no. Say, no, you ain't him. I'm sorry about that lamb chop I ate. I should have paid for it myself. Because some reason when you think you get engaged, you think you're married. Let me stay focused because I love to talk about marriage, but I'm not here to talk about marriage. I could talk about it and throw it in on that financial thing, how you deal with your money. How many of you got, I just have to go there. I feel like I'm being pushed. How many married people in here? No wonder! You're pulling it right out of me. All right, let's talk about that just for a brief moment. How you deal with those finances. Tough, isn't it? You know, I said to the Lord when I got married, I thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever experienced. You know? And you know how, and when you do that thing fast, you know, your freedom go real quick. It's just like it hits you with a wind, you know, wind or a whirlwind. You all of a sudden you wake up one morning and say, I'm what? I'm married now. And what does that mean? What it means is now I got to ask somebody else what to do. So when it comes to your finances, how many of you have joint accounts? How many of you, see, you probably, some of these, do I have newlyweds in the house? One or two, three, you still in the newlywed game, baby, I'm sorry to tell you. She's been married a year and a month or two, something like that. She's like, I'm not newlywed, shoot, I made my year. I tell you a few things about marriage. Yes, you will. You know, years that merge crisis going on, right? So for those of you, and here's my position on, should you have a joint account with your spouse? You all think that's biblical? Look, you're scared to answer me. Have you been taught in this ministry whether you should have a joint account or individual accounts or what? Huh? Both or y'all? I'm going to have to ask you to leave, Bishop, because I need to talk to your people. You know, they're having a struggle communicating with me. Because I need all the leadership just to get out the room, because I don't want to know he said, she said, you know. So, but listen, my position on joint accounts is this. If you have a spouse that cannot control themselves and is not disciplined in financial matters, okay, you have to determine that for your household, but you have to be honest with each other. You cannot hide how you're spending money. And it's so hard when you're just coming into relationship or you've been in relationship for a very long time, how to get your finances in order together. The most powerful relationship there is up on the earth is a marriage relationship. If you don't know that by now and you're married, we've got to get you there. That is the place, and that's going to lead me right into what I'm talking about, is where God is so awesome to me, and I believe one of the reasons why my husband and I have been successful in our marriage and in also doing the will of God in our lives. One of the first things we determine is that we must be in agreement. Now, you can be in agreement concerning your finances on two different accounts, as long as you're in agreement. But if you have two different accounts or three different accounts and you're holding out, and the other one doesn't really know what you're doing, and I got to beg you for the rent. I got issues with that. Do you understand? Something's wrong with that, and what you're keeping yourself from are the opportunities, because what you brought into your home is disagreement. See, and as that married couple, it is the most powerful thing. If God can give attention to those who agree, when we talk about the Tower of Babel, he says, what in the world? Let me go down to see what the... I was like, Lord, can't you see it from where you are? But I believe what the Lord was saying is that he understood the difficulty in bringing people into agreement. So if we can get into a place of agreement, first of all, in our finances, those are the areas that are going to break up your relationships, break up your marriage. Finances, children, in-laws, and religion. If you can't find a place of agreement in those four areas, just call Judge Judy, Judge Mabel, Judge somebody. Go ahead and get on TV, because we will see you and get your $300 for whatever they're going to pay you to sit up there and act a fool and put all your stuff in the street, okay? But you have to agree on those four areas in order to achieve success in your marriage. That's just the basics. So when we start to talk to people, what's your finances like? What's your in-laws like? Okay, well, have you agreed on children? Today is an environment of blended families. Who's going to raise them? And I've counseled people, and their children, unfortunately, when they have blended families, they do not, as a married couple, establish lines of authority. All this is agreement. Can we get into agreement? But the problem is we won't establish agreements because we're not people of our word. We're not people of accountability. And when you establish an agreement, that says I've got to keep my word on something. And then, of course, your religion. If you're not necessarily, you do not have to be serving in the same ministry, because you can have a different call, you can have a different gift, and there might not be room in this ministry for both of you to be able to do what you do as you merge together. But the Lord may eventually bring you together, but what you do have to agree upon is who you are serving. And that you have to, the same principles, is not about the place, it is the principles of God that you began to execute in your life. Can you agree upon the same principles? Okay? So I just had to throw that out to my married folks, and for those of you who aren't married, you guys look for The Business of Marriage. That's a book I'm supposed to write that I've already started. It's about 50% done, but I haven't been disciplined to finish it. But that's what we learned while we was here. That was one of the things deposited in my spirit. Anna, just finish it. Just finish it. And I want to say thank you to all of you, first of all, for allowing me to stand up here to communicate to you. I really sense in my spirit that this has truly been a time for impartation into my own life. I think when I come back to you and some of the things I'll do in my life, I will set this place as a memorial, a place of remembrance that the Lord has, you know, it's a launching pad, it's a springboard, because I felt so poured in by your presence. And we all made this presence, by the way. We all invited Holy Spirit into this place. We all had a part. Some of us are just here holding the microphone. So I want to stop for a moment and just say thank you for loving me, and that's what I feel from you. Amen? I want to take a minute, because when we talk about money, I firmly believe in my heart that as the Lord has given us a route, as he's shown us different things to do, and I'm sharing from what we do in our life, my husband and I, we practice the principles of character. We are who we are. What you see right here is just who you see. I'm not different when I come out there. I practice who I am. I'm the same way if you were in a private place with me, if you were in my home, if you caught me on the street, or you caught me in the elevator. I am this person that you see. Okay? There's nothing more to me. What you see is what you get. And some of it you don't want to take. But this is it, okay? So we practice in private what we do in public. Okay? And that's one of the, I mean, we have three: character, integrity, and leadership that we practice in our life. Integrity, what does it really mean? Integrity to us means that when we give our word, we keep our word. We have learned that the process of giving a word and keeping a word is you have to become a master at recreating agreements that you cannot keep. And where most of us fail is we don't know how to recreate an agreement that we could not keep before the expiration of the agreement. Did you get that? And it comes out in all areas of your life. If you've been a person that experienced foreclosure in your life, what happened is you did not know how to go back to those you made an agreement with, recreate the agreement, or use every single opportunity that you have. There are several different opportunities. Most people, you know, when they go into foreclosure, all of a sudden they think it just happened. No, it was already in process for a very long time. People don't just come and take your house. Mortgage companies don't want your house. Bankers don't want your house. What they want you to do is pay your bill. Can I get you to wrap your mind around something for a second? Let's say you're in a $200,000 house. Your mortgage note is $1,300 a month. Okay? That's all I want. I have given you, I have made an agreement with you for a $200,000 piece of property that is valued at that, but yet I say you can stay in that house for 30 years if you just pay me $1,300 a month. I mean, when you think about the money system, you got to be thinking to yourself, if all of us in here lived in a house that was $200,000, it goes into the millions of dollars. But yet what we pay for isn't in the millions of dollars. So all I want you to do is figure out a way to keep your agreement. Now, there are reasons why people lose their home, and I don't want to minimize that. If you get sick, you're a single mother, or you're in a relationship, and one of you gets sick, you were the breadwinner. All of those things are circumstances and conditions that could put you in a place that you didn't perceive that you would ever go. You know, most people go on disability in their 40s. More people get sick, like, and they're on, you know, these long-term, short-term disabilities, and the whirlwind actually happens in their finances. So you have to begin to say, wait a minute now, how do I position myself so that I can learn how to keep my agreement and have some foresight into what's necessary? Well, I think one of the ways that you do that is that you really begin to understand the power of your word in that you do not make agreements that you cannot keep on a long-term basis. I don't buy new cars. My husband, when I met him, he'd buy a new car every year. I'm trying to convince him, if I'm going to go around the country and teach people about finances, I need to practice what I preach. I realize that I have a Lexus 430, Mercedes 500, and a BMW 745. Now, I do drive all nice used cars. Let's get that straight now. However, they were all used. When they were brand new, these cars range from about $65,000 to $85,000. When I bought them, they were from $32,000 to $45,000, and they were 2 years old. I just don't do it. And guess what? One of us was talking about the house anointing, Pastor Chuck, right? We have a car anointing. We pay for our cars, we pay them off, and then we give them away. So we got a few people. We got, Shauna got one of our Volvos. My mother got an Infiniti. My mother got a Mercedes. We give them away. Then we get new used ones anyway. And we try to sell stuff, and the Lord won't let us sell it. We come up with these whole plans, you know, to try to create value in the minds of other people. So, cause just don't want to give it away. You can't they pay something for it? But you know you give stuff away to freedom people, they don't appreciate it. They gotta pay for that thing. So the car that Shauna drives, we actually gave it to her sister who worked for us, and we said to her, you know, set up a little plan, wrote out a little note and everything, you know, make this thing look good. The whole time, I told my sweetheart, the Lord said, give it to her. No, no, we can't just give it to her, friend. She gotta pay for the car. So the Spirit of the Lord just working on my sweetheart. So she's gonna pay $175 a month for this car. She was happy to do it. Now, here's my husband. He's just insisted that she gotta pay for this car. I said, well, the Holy Spirit said, I think we're supposed to give it to her. Well, no, see, no. No, we'd already given away a BMW. And my sweetheart says, well, I tell you what, he goes away for 2 or 3 days. You got to let the man go and get in this cave so he can hear from God. Then he'll come back with the right mind. You try to just press it into him, with, you know, women, just let him go. Let him go. Just say, mm-hmm. Okay, baby, you gone. 2, 3 days later, here come my friend. Friend, you know what the Holy Spirit told me? I said, does the Holy Spirit have a voice like mine? Does he sound like me? And he says, well, Holy Spirit told me that, okay, this is what we do. He says, I'm in an agreement about giving it away, but, okay, you only give it away when she makes the first payment. When she makes the first payment, $175, you have the check in your hand, then what? These are the words I want you to say to her. Oh, he's got a whole thing, you know, whole message. But I felt like I was starting to feel the Spirit of the Lord on it. And he says, when she makes the $175 payment, you have it in your hand, I want you to speak these words. And I said, what's that, honey? Say, your debt is paid. Said, okay. So when Trina gave me the check, I was in the other car and I rolled the window down. I said, Trina, come here. Trina is so animated. I love her to death. Do you hear me? I call her Chester because all she does is smile, like a Chester cat or something. She just, hey, Chester, come here. You know, roll the window down and Chester's looking at me. What, Ann? What? I said, girl, your debt is paid. She went, what? What? I say, your debt is paid. Huh? Poor baby, Chester's mind couldn't wrap around that thing. You know what I mean? And she took a step back from the car. She said, what did you say? I say, my sweetheart said to tell you when you made the first payment, that your debt is paid in full. You know the rest of the story. So give what God tells you to give, because it just makes way for new things. Every time I give away a car, I get another car. And so I gave away my next car to my mother. My husband, he wasn't there. He came back home. He said, well, where's the car? I said, we just have one car. He said, well, where's the other car? I said, it's in California. He said, what do you mean it's in California? Yeah, well, you know, Mama came down. I let her drive it back to California. You what? Have you locked? I said, see, don't, let's not go through that again. So let me tell you what I did. I waited just a couple of months because we travel a lot. We only need one car every now and then, you know. So I waited a couple of months, and then I started working on him to get that new car. So give away what you don't need so God can bring something else into your life. And I got the car that I wanted, which was the Lexus. Amen? Okay, what I want to go over is pattern for purpose. You have been patterned for a particular purpose. And pattern, just as Moses received an instruction from the Lord to do it just like he said. I believe one of the things, if we can begin to really yield our lives and really begin to seek the Lord, and I'm not talking about in I think there's a place that we go to pray and seek God in our private place, whether we are in church, in our closet. But then we have to come out of that place and execute in reality. Okay? And I believe that the Lord has a pattern for you to follow. And there has to be a spirit that you embrace. And that is a spirit of followership. You can be a leader with the spirit of followership on you, okay? And so what I'm encouraging you to embrace is that you have to change your mindset about who you think you are, okay? Who do you think you are? Who does God say that you are? And when you begin to change your mindset, and the mindset I want you to embrace is I cannot move without his instruction. I cannot do anything unless I have something that I can go back and pattern it after. See, God has already created a pattern for your life. And all you have to do is start asking him, Lord, who am I? What do I look like? Why have you created me? Where do I go? Now, this isn't something you sit down and do and we fill out all your paperwork. This is your lifestyle. If you're in business, if you want to birth that dream or vision, you cannot work without God. Now, you may think you can, but I'm telling you, you cannot do it without God once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because then you're really just kind of out there. You're like you went AWOL. And we need to get you back. Because if you'll come back and follow the general's orders, you're going to get where you're supposed to go. So in being patterned for purpose, and we talk about this word purpose all the time, I began to seek the Lord for the word purpose. You know, all the purpose-driven books and your best life and all of the great authors that we see on the top 10 and so forth. Everybody's telling us about getting in purpose, right? Well, this is the definition, and it really bothered me. Because I believe that in order for us to achieve or accomplish anything, we have to know what that thing is. We've got to be able to see that thing and experience that thing in our lives. I want to give you an example. You cannot do what you cannot see. Remember I shared with you is that you need to begin to seek the Lord so that you can see what he says. See what he says. See what God says. When you see what God says, God always speaks in pictures. Why? Because he knows the power of seeing. He knows that you need to see. What did Eve do? Eve saw that it was good. She didn't just hear that it was good. She actually saw. So in the process, you can hear things and not do them, but when she saw that this was good. And we need you to see some things in your life that God is speaking to you so that you can do it. And you do not move until you see. Okay, I need an example. I see I don't have a volunteer. Shall I pick one? I like the young lady in the red and white T-shirt, right? Yes, you. I love it. Who, me? Yeah, yeah. There are three of you in red and white. No, no, no. The young lady, I want you to, you know, I talked about the brain a little bit, about how your subconscious and your conscious mind, you have a certain amount of time. Come on up here, baby. Yeah, come on. What's your name? Your name. Yeah, come on up here. Come on up here. Kelly! Say, go, Kelly, go! Go, Kelly, go! How you doing, Kelly? First things first, you're loved and appreciated. I want you to breathe. It's going to be all right. I'm going to use Kelly as an example to show you how the conscious mind works. And I need you to carefully look at her. Look at her eyes. Because, see, in the eyes, there's an expression of awareness. It's an expression of thinking. And our job is we have to get into a place of thinking. If we can tap into our thought life and really begin to control it, as 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, y'all didn't know I knew a scripture. I knew that one. How it tells us to capture, take captive those thoughts, because if you, before you can move and do anything in your life, it happens in the thought. You remember I told you if you see Kelly now, she's in the past. She's definitely in the past. She was conceived, you know, And once you see her here, she's already in the past. So in order to understand that I need to tap into your thinking and your thought process, I need you to see what you look like when you're trying to think. Most of us have a very similar response when we cannot see something that someone says. When we cannot see something that someone says. When we cannot see something that someone says. When we cannot see something that someone says, we remain immobile. I cannot move if I cannot see. It's like being a blind man. You don't know where to go. You're afraid to move. You become immobilized in your present, and you cannot get to where God wants you for your now, because your now just stays right here, and you don't apply movement. We've been hearing it throughout this conference. This is a season to move. The sheets that I gave you, as you begin to read, and I won't nearly get to all of the information, but I think it's enough information that it will help you on your own when you read it. What you'll see is that this was written in 2003. You're going to see some of the things that are on this paper that you've heard. And I was sitting there and I was reading and I was thinking, what is this? This is in 2003. Why? Because now we're in a time of movement. You're ready to see what it looks like when you cannot see what a person says. You ready? Okay, the whole premise of what I'm about to teach you is being able to move in your now. Is that before you move, before you pursue the pattern that God wants for your life, you have to be able to see what he says. See what he says. Okay? What is it? I'm trying to teach you how to see what God says. I said in Deuteronomy 28 that the word of God says to hearken diligently to the Lord thy God, to observe. What does observe mean? What he says. To observe to do. To observe to do what God commands us to do. All right? So the premise here is for you to learn how to what? What he says. And what you're observing here is how you will react to something that you cannot see. When I say something and you cannot see, this is what happens to you. I told you that now is the amount of time that you can hold a conscious thought before it becomes a past memory. We have a subconscious and a conscious mind. When we begin to speak and communicate, our communication one to another are a series of words, words that should create pictures that we can relate with, that's like something, so that we can have an exchange of communication. There is no exchange of communication if there is no understanding. There is no understanding if you cannot see that it's like something that you already know. You have no understanding of it. Do you understand that? Okay. So, I want to introduce you to something. And I want you to do it for me, Kelly. See, look at that. Where is thy faith? Oh, the little faith. Where? Where's your faith? Okay. You with me? I need a woman of excellence up here with me. Are you with me? Okay, then. So, I need her to do something. See me as the Lord giving you a command, okay? Here's the example. Kelly, go get me some Kiki Kiki. Now, some of you couldn't see. I want you to face your audience. I said, Kelly, how about this? It's just another word, maybe just to help. Look at your people so much, okay? Look, and you just respond to my question, okay? Kelly, okay, Kichi Kichi, you said, what's that? How about, go give me some Kachi Kachi. Are you looking at our eyes? She's like, remember I told you that now is the amount of time, 0 to 2 to 5 seconds. Within 0 to 2 to 5 seconds, your mind is doing one thing. What's going on? What is it doing? First of all, what it's doing is trying to recognize in 0 to 2 to 5 seconds, identify, recognize and say, what is this thing? To identify is organizing, is determining what category it goes in. Organizing it is where you're going to file it for future use. And then the final thing is filing that thing. Recognize, identify, organize, and file. That's what you do with information. If you cannot recognize, identify, organize, or file your future that God gives you, you cannot. What's your question? What's that? Okay, she did good because question, thinking leads to question. What she was doing first was thinking. Thinking says, I don't recognize it, I can't identify it, I can't organize it, I can't file it for future use. What is she going to do with my kichi kichi kachi kachi? Some of y'all, I know y'all know what that is, right? At least file 13, don't know what to do with it, right? But what if I tell you, why are we doing this, first of all? Why are we doing this? Okay, and the reason why I ask you that is because when I give you answers and you just receive answers, you have no idea why you're doing what you're doing. So why are we doing this? So you can learn to see what he said, so that you will go back and you will begin to think about it. Wait a minute, what is Kichi Kichi Kachi Kachi? Kelly's still trying to figure it out. So in order to get where you need to go, Kelly did the first thing right. She says, what's that? You have to ask a question. Because from thinking, recognizing, identifying, organizing, and filing, that's thinking. It will lead to questions when you can't pull anything out of your subconscious mind that tells you what it's like. Okay, so are you getting where I'm taking you when you're trying to see what God is saying? Where I'm trying to take you is that some of us are not asking God enough questions. Okay, you think you know what God wants you to do. You think that you're moving in the path that God is sending you, but you just took an answer. I'm here to tell you that asking God questions is okay. It's okay, people. You don't understand, ask a question so you can get understanding. As you ask the question, so thinking, questions, then answers. Then I tell her, I said, well, Kelly, she says, what's that? Kelly, are you with me? Thinking, she already couldn't recognize it, identify, organize it, or file it. So she comes, well, what's that, God? I'm saying, well, it's like kachi kachi, Kelly. She's like, well, what's that? Well, Kelly, see, she's asking me questions because she hasn't given up on the fact. Most of us, when I say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, come on. See, you fell for it. Nobody stopped and said, wait a minute, why is she asking us about Monday? Because you're so used to doing it one way. You're so used to, yeah, I could have took you right on to Sunday if I wanted to. Like what? A? Thank you! Who hollered B up here? But do you, why are we saying Monday? That's the question. Consciousness, being aware, being alert, having your mind prepared and ready, says, wait a minute, I'm backing up on you and saying, I need to know why we're doing this. Why? What does this mean? How is this going to affect me? Where am I going to go after knowing this? Do you understand? Say, Anna, wait a minute, Monday. And I'm going to say, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. Monday, I like to get a meeting with you. Everybody like, Monday, cool. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We would have gone all the way to Z because you would have been showing me you knew your alphabet. Do you understand? I'm saying, I'm not interested in your knowledge. I want you to ask me. The Lord is saying, I know what you know. But you need to know what I know. And unfortunately, I think you're thinking there's some boundaries with knowing what God knows. Now, he does say his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and he, you know, his ways. But it's okay. The more you ask of him, the more he will give. Now, let me help Kelly, because I'm not finished, because I'm giving you two formulas in one. Okay, one is seeing what he says. That's the one where we cannot move if we cannot see. Okay, and you don't believe if you cannot see it. Hey, Kelly, I really need you to go get me that kitchy, kitchy, couch, couch. Look, and then she had nerve enough to stiffen up on me. I can't go nowhere. Are you seeing this? See, some of you have a dream and a vision in your heart, but you can't birth your dream and vision because you're stuck. Because you really can't see. You got just a little bit of something, but you can't see. Why? Because you haven't asked enough questions. When we talk about giving birth to your dream and your vision and writing a business plan and all of those things, what we start to do, we start to ask you questions. Some people get mad at me when I start to ask them questions. You know what I tell them? I say, if you can't think about your vision, I can't either. Because questions only stimulate thinking. And most of us are too lazy to think. It's okay for me to just like, what? Okay, A, B, C. It's okay. That is not thinking. That is coming out of your subconscious mind. You're not thinking about the moment. You're not in the moment. And in order to achieve what God wants you to achieve, you need to be in your moment. You need to become aware. And you know what? Unfortunately, we're afraid to talk about this because now you're going to call me New Age, right? Because I'm telling you, think. Peter says, prepare your mind. Ready your mind. If the mind of the spirit is not changed, you are not going to change. So let me help her. Kelly, remember, who am I? I'm saying, okay, Kelly, you go get me some kichi kichi and some kachi kachi. Most people, when they do this example, and Kelly has not done it, she has resisted doing it, which is good, because I want her to resist in doing it. But most people will say, well, I don't know what it is. Let me just, they take off. That's what the example usually looks like. She's pretty good. Do you see it? She's getting it along the way. And so most of them will take off. They'll take off running, and they don't know where they're going. They're just running. I was at one church. The whole church run out the door. I said, what are you running for? Where are you going? Nobody knew what I was talking about, but everybody wanted to go get it. Laugh at me or laugh at them. However, that's how most of us live our lives. We don't have clarity. You do not move unless you have clarity. And clarity shows you a picture. I'm about to release Kelly. And Kelly, I want you to run. I want you to take a scope. Just look. Because what I'm about to ask you is in here, and I need you to go get it. Just look around for a moment. Just take a careful look. See, most of us, we don't pay attention to where we are, our environment, what's going on around us. We don't pay attention. We just kind of, we're there. Like I can ask you, what's on the back wall? Don't look. What's along the back wall? How many different colors are back there? Five colors? What's the color? You guys are pretty good. That must have been up there a while. Okay, now what's that scripture you're supposed to memorize? Everybody start saying it. Never mind. Never mind. Let that one go. I knew I had to get you on something. What about those flags? How many flags you got in here? Oh, gave up on that one already. Never really paid attention to the details. To the details. How many clocks are on the wall? Three clocks, right? Okay. All right. No, the speakers don't know that. How many of that? Oh, that's 3 clocks. So, Kelly, here you go. I want you to find that thing. I have been speaking to you. I've been communicating to you. I've been telling you. I want you to see what I say. I know it's in you. And once I speak it, you should see it in here. Then I want you to find it. Okay? Kelly, kichi kichi is like kachi kachi. Kelly, you're messing my example up. Come back here. I know you do. But kichi kichi and kachi kachi is like banana. What color is it?
Yellow.
Can you all see it? Now, Kelly, what? Somebody shaking their head no? Can you see what Kichi Kichi is? Kichi Kichi is banana. What color is it? Kichi Kichi is what? Okay, now, Kelly, go get me a Kichi Kichi. When you can see what he says, then you can move and fulfill vision. What's in my hand? Kichi Kichi. Oh, yeah, she can go now. She can go. Look, that's what people do, interfere in your vision, baby. They interfere. Don't worry about it. Get you off track. You heard from God, didn't you, baby? Yes, you did. That's what I like about you guys. You can use you. You see them? So when you see what God says, then you can fulfill vision. As long as you cannot see what he says, you remain immobile. You cannot pursue the pattern you cannot see. Remember when the Lord spoke to Moses, he said, do it exactly like. Do it exactly like. What did I say Kichi Kichi was like? See, because God shows you the thing he wants you to do, and he shows it to you in such a way that it's like something, but it may not exist in your presence. But he says, like it so that he can put you on the path to move. And it takes faith for Kelly. I say, Kelly, go get me some Kichi Kichi Kachi Kachi. Now I put my faith in motion to move to the thing that God has called me to do. And I can come back and deliver the thing. And the great thing about doing what God tells you to do, you see, there are always rewards. If you can get them open to the things that the Lord wants you to do, you will receive the fruit. Sweet. Of what God calls you to do. Hold that for me. I'll be back to it in a minute. So Kichi Kichi is what? No, Kichi Kichi is what? Kichi Kichi is just banana, okay? It's yellow, it's a banana. You can climb up a tree, you can go to a grocery store, whichever one you like. You can get one off of a chair, and you can always get one back here. If you are looking for a Kichi Kichi and you need some help on a Kichi Kichi, it's one back here. We don't want your blood sugar dropping on you. So in pursuing the pattern for your life, you have to look and constantly be searching and going back to God with questions about what he wants you to do. I said, you know, you have to embrace this spirit upon your life that says, Lord, I cannot move without your instruction. So the final thing I want to share with you is as I began to search, of course, I knew I wouldn't get to this whole sheet, but I wanted to look good and give it to you for the sake of Bishop, because he gave us all those notes and everything. I wanted him to know I could write down a sheet of paper or something, you know what I mean? Try to stay focused. But anyway, what I want you to understand is as I began to seek the Lord for the word purpose, remember I said, isn't it hard? I mean, in all honesty, it's hard to live in purpose, don't you think? To do your purpose, to stay focused on your purpose. And I began to ask the Lord, I said, Lord, what is purpose? Can you give me something that I can live my life and achieve the purpose and the plan that you have for me? So in order to change a mindset of a people, of a group of people, we all have to get the same definition of a thing. See, one of the things I've noticed being around Bishop and around this community of people is you all use the word in my world. And everybody knows what that means, right? Well, the first time I heard Bishop say in my world, I was like, well, what world is he living in? But it took him two or three times of me hearing the reference to him talking about in my world to get on the same page. Now, when he says that, everybody knows what he's talking about, right? And what he's really saying is that in my world or in this place, we have an understanding This is what we do in our world with the people that I'm associated with, the circles of influence that I'm in. This is how we think. This is how we move. This is how we execute. So I'm saying in this world that we're all living in right now, I want to deposit something in your world. And that is that if you can get everyone seeing, hearing, and believing the same thing, then you can move that entire mass of people in the same direction. Okay, so I want to share with you what the Lord said to me about purpose. And I believe it's something that can really help you. He said to me, Anna, purpose is a desire of mine. A desire of mine. See, the thing about purpose, in order to achieve a purpose, we think it's a place or something, but it's a destination. But in order to achieve the destination, you need a passion to get to some place other than the place that you're in. You need something that's going, a desire. David said, that one thing that I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. So if I can get your desires right in your mind, a desire of mine, that this passion, this thing that keeps drawing me to you, that is what I'm endeavoring to do. When I say a desire of mine, now I need you moving in a direction, because purpose is not a destination, it's really a direction. Because along the way, along the journey, you're going to be fulfilling what God has called you to do. So purpose is what? A desire of mine directed toward the fulfillment of godly instruction. Ready for it again? Purpose is a desire of mine directed toward the fulfillment of godly instruction. So if I can get you to a place of understanding that purpose is just not about being. It is about being in a place where you can embrace the fact that you have to get your instruction from God before you move. So it's you having a desire. And see, it's going to go into several different things. A desire of mine will take you into the place where you will begin to seek God and say, God, what do you want me to do? But it takes desire to get your mind and your body into that place of prayer outside of the church. Hey, are you with me? We can come in here and we can get spiritual, and, you know, because what happens when you come into the church, it is a perceived environment where you should become holy. You have this perception that because we're in here, we've got to behave a certain way, and it just kind of come on you. I don't see anybody drinking, smoking, sexing, dancing, well, excuse me, but you know what I'm saying, doing the hoochie. Why? Because when you come in here, you perceive the presence of the Lord is here. So if I can get the desire of mine inside of you, and that desire will draw you into avenues, different experiences, what are you going for? A desire of mine, so that when you come out of this place, there is a direction toward the fulfillment of godly instruction. See, the fulfillment of godly instruction comes in your daily life, in your workplace, with your family, out of this place that we call the secret place. We like to talk about this. See, this is easy. It's not that easy getting in. This is the easy part. Why? Because the world is not coming at us. We don't have the voices of people and all of the different things trying to take away our attention.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy.